Much of the world has fallen for a troubling obsession.
We know that engagement with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. Dopamine is the exact same chemical that makes us feel good when we smoke, when we drink, and when we gamble. In other words, it's highly, highly addictive.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with two guests. In part one, she welcomes Jill Martin Rishi, who sounds a warning that big tech is not our friend. It tracks us, data mines us, addicts us, and can stalk your children and grandchildren. Can and should Christians still be salt and light on social media? Or is it time to flee what will become part of the beast system? Later this hour, Jan talks to a security consultant about today's lawlessness, how it ties to the Bible, and how to protect ourselves from today's violence. Here's part one of our program.
You have an entire generation that has access to an addictive, numbing chemical called dopamine through social media and cell phones as they're going through the high stress. They don't have the coping mechanisms to deal with stress. So when significant stress starts to show up in their lives, they're not turning to a person, they're turning to social media. They're turning to these things which offer temporary relief. We know, the science is clear, we know that people who spend more time on Facebook suffer higher rates of depression than people who spend less time on Facebook. That's a problem. That's an addiction. If you're sitting in a meeting with people you're supposed to be listening to and speaking, and you put your phone on the table, you're just not that important to me, right? So you have an addicted generation that doesn't have the skill set to ask for help. Combined with the fact that they're so good at Facebook and Instagram, they're good at putting filters on everything. So they're good at showing you how smart and strong they are. These kids who commit suicide, you go look at their Instagrams, you would have no clue that they were depressed.
And I'm so glad you could join us today for Understanding the Times Radio. A little bit interesting and different twist here for the first half of the program, because almost 20 years ago, a new concept burst onto the scene called social media, and it transformed the world for good and for bad. Has it been totally for good or bad? I think we see a little bit of both, and we'll talk about that. Some people live on social media. They don't watch television. They don't listen to the radio. They don't read the internet. Or even spend time talking on the telephone. They take all that time and invest it in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, Rumble, Gab, Pinterest, and there are many that I am missing. So I'm not the social media expert, and someone who really is the expert, and she's actually in studio with me, is Jill Martin Rishi. We'll say more about Jill in just a moment. I'm going to not only pick her brain here for this next half hour or so, I'm going to be playing some sound bites as well. And a couple of them are a little bit, shall we say, shocking. We're going to demonstrate how social media, well, they can become literally child predators. Some of the people who are on social media have to go to media rehab to get off. Digital kidnapping. What is digital kidnapping? This is not just a sweet little discussion we're going to have here. Jill Rishi, thank you for coming into the studio.
It's good to be here, Jan. Thanks.
And I'm playing heavily off of some info you provided me with. You advised me that a media war was launched fairly recently, so talk to me about it.
Yes, for those of you out there who are on our Facebook and Twitter and other social media, you might have noticed a change in things last November. What happened was a media war was launched against the people whose ideals, and values did not match up with the platform. Twitter, Facebook especially, said, we're done. We're not going to have these people on our platform anymore.
You mean people like us?
People like us, correct. Mm-hmm. Those of you who are on talking with me, with Jan, and with others on our Facebook page especially, you will have noticed the fact that I was letting you know we were going to more than likely lose our Facebook page. That has not happened yet, but our outreach has been significantly limited. We've had two things we've been warned about, one of which was from, I believe it was around 2013, and it has to do with ISIS and the Quran. So that was one of our warnings. Technically, we are walking on thin ice.
ISIS being defended, people like us being marginalized.
Correct. All we were censored for and threatened that we were going to be unpublished for initially was a post with direct quotes from the Quran, and the heading on it was, this is what ISIS believes. And that's what we received the first warning for and the threat that we're going to be unpublished. So Those of you back in November, you noticed what was happening on Twitter. They were dropping people by the tens of thousands. Facebook, they were dropping people again by the tens of thousands.
So there is data mining going on. Big tech companies view us, their children, grandchildren, etc., as products. Our followers share things about their personal life, personal photos, photos of kids, grandkids, etc. These big outfits turn around, frankly, they sell it to everyone and anyone because they see us as customers and they're making money off us. That's their only purpose, I think. I think they have a political agenda, and I think that's been rather obvious here in the last 4 years. But I want to play a clip right now that talks about this digital kidnapping. Folks, part of this segment is to send a warning out that bad things are happening online, at least on this social media. It also is a wonderful place to share the gospel, and that's why we're there. It's to be salt and light and help delay some of this decay. But I want to play this real short clip about this digital kidnapping, and then I want to come back and talk about it.
This phenomenon is called digital kidnapping, and yes, it is as scary as it sounds. As parents, we love to take photos of our kids and post them. It's a great way to keep our family and friends in the loop. But now experts are issuing this new alert that bad guys are using our posts against us to track our children. This morning, you're about to see how they do it, plus the simple setting on your phone that you can change right now to protect your family.
From Facebook. To Instagram, parents sharing their children's lives online. But now the new world's crime, digital kidnapping. Predators stealing your kids' photos and spreading them online. This stranger posting on Facebook claiming this girl was his daughter. In another recent case, a child's photo was tagged on a porn site. Turns out, most of us are putting our own families at risk, and we have no idea.
Happy Thursday.
You post all the time.
Yeah, I like to post about the kids.
That's Michelle and Reese. They think we're doing a general story about social media. What they don't know, back in Ohio, cyber safety expert Jesse Weinberger is poring over their social media pages, checking for private information.
So what do you find here?
Through mom's Facebook account and everything that she's posted, I was able to find out husband's name, children's names. She has two children. I know their ages. I know their dates of birth. I know where they go to school. I have the address of the school. I have the name of the teacher. I know exactly which playgrounds they visit, how often they like to go to each playground.
You were showing me a map where you're actually able to find out the path they take to school, how they walk and when.
Right. It wasn't hard.
But even scarier, she says our photos can have a hidden location signature embedded in them. Even if you don't tag the location, anyone can still find out where you are.
What's the danger here?
For example, I know that one of her children broke his leg. How easy would it for me to be to come up to the kid and say, oh, you don't remember me, but I was the nurse when you came to the emergency room. How's your leg feeling?
Come with me.
Come with me.
Jill, that is somewhat terrifying.
It is. And if we go to what the Bible says, that we are in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle. Social media is a battlefield and you have to treat it like it is. It's not a place where you let down your guard. It's extremely easy to take any photographs that you post and post them somewhere else. And there is something called the dark web, which some of you know about. So you may not even know that your child's photograph has been taken. Another thing is the aspect of facial recognition. Why do we want to give the enemy, and these companies are not our friends,
right?
They hate us. Why do we want to give Facebook our child or our grandchild's face for their photo recognition network? It's not a safe choice.
Are you saying, and let's confine it to Facebook, just keep on talking to each other, but quit posting pictures?
From what I have seen and the dangers that are out there, if you can avoid posting any family pictures or locations or anything that's personal to you, your child or grandchild, then you are really treating the world as if it were not your friend, not letting down your guard, and keeping the details of your life to yourself, I think, is wisdom.
Yes, I agree. I'm not quite ready to leave this child predator factor that's going on online. I actually did a program on that probably 4 years ago now. This is a good update. Let's play this clip and come back and talk about it.
I never thought I would be chasing child predators. It was 2 years ago when our team intercepted conversations between a 12-year-old girl and a 40-year-old pedophile. He wasn't just talking to her. He was abusing her, coercing her, collecting images and videos, and no one in her life, her parents, sixth grade teacher, or friends, knew what was happening. I have a sixth grader of my own. I have three kids, actually. But you don't have to be a parent to be devastated by this. I work for a tech company that uses artificial intelligence to detect issues like grooming and sexual predation, and this is something we see constantly. These abuses are occurring quietly and mostly go unreported, and we want parents to know exactly what we know about what happens online. So we made a plan.
A man has been arrested for allegedly raping a 15-year-old that he met over Snapchat.
Instagram has become the number one social media site.
TikTok is at the top of the free download.
We've also seen firsthand the predatory symbiotic relationship that exists between Instagram and Snapchat.
We would create a fictitious 15-year-old girl, complete with a believable social media identity, put her online, and document how long it would take for a predator to approach her. But creating a person out of thin air is complicated. We needed photos, but we knew we couldn't use an actual teenager. It would have to be someone on our team. I'm 37, but our graphic designers assured me that with the wonders of photo manipulation, they could magically make me look over 2 decades younger. We bought clothes and accessories, studied body language and facial expressions. We methodically covered and edited signs of aging, wrinkles, weight shifts, and stretch marks. Meanwhile, we coordinated with federal, state, and local law enforcement. Then we built a story around her, a history, a family, a social circle. Livy was born in 2004 and is a sophomore who recently moved to Indiana. We created multiple online accounts for Libby, prominently displayed her age, and posted typical teen content. We even created virtual friends for Libby who would comment on her posts. With everything in place, we would launch the project, give it a few months, and see if anyone would buy it. So we hit the button, and Libby went live. Within the first hour of posting on Libby's accounts, 7 adult men contacted her. By the end of 9 days, that number was 92. The conversations ranged in severity from making sexual comments to sharing and requesting explicit photos and videos to manipulation and threats.
Your thoughts, Jill, on something like this? That's terrifying. Chasing child predators, that's what these people do full time.
It is a dangerous place. And if you allow your child on there, you need to be aware of who they're talking to. I don't want people to be afraid if a kid goes on just to talk to a friend, but you just need to be aware. It's called good parenting, right? It's knowing what your child is doing with their time when they're in their room on their computer, or as some parents do, remove the computer from the room and put it out in the open. It's practicing safety. Yes, that is real. And yes, it's linked to other terrible things. And that's why the choice to be on Facebook is a personal one. People are called to different kinds of ministries, Jen. Some people feel they are called to social media as a ministry. They go on there and they deal with a lot of stress and a lot of nasty things to share the gospel. Other people feel called to go out and set up a table in front of a bar and deal with the people who are coming in and out of there. Everyone has a calling. I'm not suggesting everyone get off Facebook or everyone get on Facebook and other sites. I'm saying you need to go before the Lord. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this where my family is safe?
We're very seriously thinking of dropping off Twitter. A lot of Christians and conservatives have done that. We've been on there for years and we built up a nice following, which now Twitter has gone and removed some of our following, which is what these big companies do. If they don't shut you down, they remove your followers, so your outreach shrinks enormously. But tell me why you think we should be leaving Twitter in the near future.
Twitter is in your face about how much they dislike you. Facebook is a little less in your face, but you still know it's there. And Twitter's Jack Dorsey, the founder, he is always out there in the media stating what his beliefs are and what his approach is. So it's a very hostile environment. Another thing is they've gotten more and more into doing things that are twisted as far as allowing child pornography to remain on Twitter. And I know Facebook has been guilty of this too, but there's a lawsuit going on with Twitter right now. There are 2 young people suing for refusing to take down pictures that were put up of them by their abusers. I eventually expect that we'll be off of Facebook, and we are on multiple other platforms.
Right, we're heading there. We're on Gab. We're on Instagram, of course. Say a word here or two about YouTube and Rumble as well. We've been on YouTube forever and have about 120,000 subscribers, and we appreciate that platform when we're not censored, and we are, which is why we're on Rumble. But the best place to find our radio program, folks, is on our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio. You get the radio, the audio, and the video version at olivetreeviews.org, as well as Rumble, his channel, and LightSource. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Jill Martin Rishi. She is the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin, and you can learn more about her or contact her on our social media that she manages so effectively, and also at her website, waltermartin.com. I want to play one more clip here while we have time, and that is the spying angle. For instance, Facebook is tracking us all the time, and again, folks, that's just part of the price you pay. If you want to dance the duo with these big tech outfits, they're going to want something back from you, and they're going to try to get it through any means possible.
Have you ever wondered if social media is spying on you, listening to a conversation you're having with someone, and then targeting you with ads based on what you just talked about? Well, Channel 2 viewers shared some very interesting incidents of their own, and that got us thinking. We asked our investigator, Joel Eisenbaum, to check it out. He discovered Facebook is definitely watching and listening. Tonight, he's revealing the information collected and what happens to it.
People have all sorts of wild ideas about Facebook, that it's studying us, following us, spying on us in impossible ways.
Big Brother's always watching.
I think Facebook was created by the government, honestly.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Before you completely dismiss the notion.
Okay, Google.
Hey, Siri.
The idea that your hardware and software may be listening to your every word. May I present Derek Smith? His story may ring true with quite a few of you.
I mean, this is creepy.
Yeah, it's super creepy. It's espionage creepy.
Derek was at work a few weeks ago, holding his phone, but having a small talk conversation with his boss.
Hey, what'd you do this weekend?
Anyway, they chatted about some very specific things. And lo and behold, when Derek got back to his office,
you open up Facebook and the same thing you were talking about's on your screen.
Derek and his boss aren't even friends on Facebook. So had Facebook been eavesdropping on that conversation? Wait a minute, are you listening to me right now?
No, we are not.
This is actually incredibly possible.
Chris Bronk is a U of H assistant professor and digital security expert. And he actually doesn't think Facebook turns on your phone's microphone to record you secretly. In fact, Facebook has officially addressed the issue. Quote, "We only access your microphone if you have given our app permission and if you are actively using a specific feature that requires audio." Still, Bronk says you've probably already given Facebook and other apps blanket permission to access not only your microphone, but your camera, location, contacts, and on and on.
The modern cell phone is essentially a privacy-killing machine.
Throw in your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, your smart TV, and you have the potential to be monitored all the time, everywhere. Even creeps us out sometimes.
We just shot the story with this company, and all of a sudden their ads are popping up in my website feed.
Or how about this cereal eater? Is it really dumb luck she was served up a Raisin Bran ad? We can't explain these coincidences. But know that random things like your shopper's card, your location history, your web browsing habits, all this stuff is fair game for information collection.
People are paranoid, right?
Being paranoid is probably not a bad idea.
Jill, I think there was some truth in that little clip that we do give some permission to these outfits.
And you made an excellent point, which is you don't get something for nothing. What's that old saying? If it seems too good to be true, it usually is. Yeah. If you have this whole free social media platform that's cost millions and millions of dollars to create, then you're not going to be able to use it for free, even if you think you are. They will find other ways to get information out of you that's valuable to them. We go on there trusting, thinking that we have a level of privacy, but we have no privacy. Just like in our searches, whatever you put into your search engine, you need to be careful because you don't know who's keeping a record of your searches.
So we are on Gab. We are on Instagram, as I already said, and Facebook and Twitter for now, but we may vanish from Twitter real soon. And you're not all that fond of MeWe, and why don't you just give a sentence as to why?
We as Christians have to be careful where we go. It's a good thing to support conservative and or Christian sites. The founder of Gab, Andrew Torba, professes to be a Christian. He said he built this site so that people could speak freely. Right. And I think right now at this point, we should take him at his word and support his platform. You go there and you can use it free, but he asks you to support him monthly in order to continue getting other options. So that's the one that we chose first. Also, they own their own servers. Yeah. A server is a computer that houses the information on a particular social media website. The company puts all its information there and they keep it safe. And that's where the site is operated from. If the company like MeWe does not own its own servers, then that means someone else can push the off button. all the information and all the effort that you just put into setting up your MeWe account a year or two from now could be censored or shut down.
Well, that sort of happened with Parler. Parler got shut down by powers that be higher than them. And we should say Mike Lindell, I believe, is launching a social media site within the next week. Now, that's a potential site for us in the future, correct?
Yes, it's called Frank. It's going to be launched, I hear, shortly. I'm guessing that Mike Lindell will own his own servers, just like Gab does. MeWe does not. And Parler was destroyed because it did not own its own servers.
Correct. You said to me, social media sites are getting rid of anyone who lowers their ESG score. Talk to us about the ESG score. Many have not a clue what this is, and it's important.
I think it's very important because it's going to affect all of us. The ESG score stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. It started out in the business world. Companies wanted to know what other companies were putting their resources toward so that they could invest in the companies that most supported their own values. So that's how the ESG score started. And it's really copying something that's been in China for quite a while now. China has this credit system, and this credit system really limits people's lives. If you don't follow the rules, then you are restricted in many ways. They have no freedom to travel. Their child may not be able to go to the school they want to go to. They may not be able to get the job they want. The government may look at them more closely. So what you're hearing there is our future. The ESG will progress in America. It has now moved from just corporate businesses like Facebook and Twitter. They're corporate businesses. So keeping you on there lowers their ESG score. If you're a conservative on there talking about Jesus, talking about conservative values, you lower their corporate score. And that's why they want you off of there. But it's spreading beyond corporate to personal and social areas. And now they're calling it a human social score. The bigger picture is it's not just because they don't like your politics. It's because your politics and your life hurts them financially.
I appreciate that explanation. I want to play one more clip. This is the addiction angle. It gets back now to users. Some of them have to literally go to rehab.
Many of us spend more time on social media than we probably should. But for some users, sites like Facebook, Twitter, and yes, Instagram can become a troubling obsession, causing them to lose touch with reality.
Maria Villarreal takes us to a place where young people are getting help for their social media addiction.
I was struggling with severe depression and anxiety.
17-year-old David Mayer from Ohio says he felt constant pressure from his parents to be perfect. Overwhelmed, he started using drugs. He also got lost online for up to 4 hours a day.
I felt like with all of my posts, I would create this false character of who I was. What I thought was the perfect version of myself, what I wanted to be, which is this young, funny, attractive guy. Obviously, I was kind of neglecting the fact that I did have a lot of sadness within me and a lot of loneliness.
David became withdrawn and stopped talking to his parents till they took matters into their own hands.
I got woken up 4 a.m., just two guys with my bags packed, and I was pretty frightened at first.
Did you know these guys?
No. My parents had hired them to take me here.
They forced David into the Paradigm Malibu Rehab Facility for 30 days to treat his social media addiction. No cell phones or internet surfing allowed. 50% of teens say they feel addicted to their mobile devices, and studies show teens who spend more time on social media are more likely to report mental health issues than those who spend less time on the sites.
I'd sit in my room for days at a time and just kind of be there, and I had nothing else to do except for just kind of curl up and go on social media.
17-year-old Arizona native Caitlin Walker is also seeking treatment at Paradigm. Caitlin says things began spiraling out of control when her parents' marriage hit a rough patch. She turned to social media for comfort, but instead became the target of online bullying.
Like, I literally had pictures in my camera roll of people, like, bullying me, and I kept it.
Why?
I don't know. It was just kind of, like, confirmation that I wasn't good enough.
If you know that Instagram and Twitter and Facebook are causing you all this pain, why do you keep going back to it then?
It's hard to detach and realize that it's a really negative part of your life.
That clip kind of blew me away. 50%, at least of younger people, can be addicted. They're turning to social media for comfort, not the Bible, not even parents or significant people in their life or the church. They're turning to social media to meet all their needs.
Yeah, and especially in this last year when people were locked in and could not get out. and still the suicide rates climb. So social media is not solving that personal relationship issue. I think that people need to examine how each individual device affects them or their children. If they're on the phone all the time, then at least start by taking their phone and leaving it outside their bedroom at night. You can gently detach from it. And that's also a way to measure how much the addiction level is present in your child. Also, if they're using their tablet consistently day in and day out, start decreasing that gradually. These things have been manufactured to addict us.
Yeah, they have.
I think we need to recognize that.
Exactly right.
Just like an alcohol manufacturer, whatever they're manufacturing, that's manufactured with an addiction factor, and so are your devices.
Yeah. I'm running low on time, but we need to talk about one more issue, and that is a Christian has some responsibility on social media. Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can use this platform to preach the gospel, and we do, and we post our radio programs on it, and we put a verse of the day on it, so we're getting the gospel out. I think we need to emphasize that this isn't all dark, that this is a wonderful opportunity to spread the good news.
It is a wonderful opportunity. If you feel called to be on there, you feel like God is using you to be salt and light, then that is between you and the Lord. When it comes to our children, that's something else. The parent has to determine whether or not it's a safe environment for them. We have to balance our calling with where it is. Some people are called to go out into the streets and talk to prostitutes. Some people are called to go to the jungles in Africa. Some of us are called to go to social media. And I really want to encourage those who are out there doing that, that it's not all dark, that the Lord can use us anywhere we are, but we need to be aware of the fact that this is a battlefield. It's the rise of the beast
system.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is the rise of the global database.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's directly connected to the scores that we are getting. Believe me, we are all accumulating points towards scores right now. We don't have the actual proof of that yet, but we are. Just be aware, this is the rise of the beast system. If God calls you there, he calls you there. But we need to remember it is a battlefield.
Again, you can find us on Facebook for now and on Twitter for now. We may be disappearing. You can check with us online, send an email if you'd like. You can find us on Gab, Instagram, Rumble, YouTube. We're trying to fight the battle, Jill. Be salt and light and help delay the decay. We appreciate what you do because you manage a good deal of this for us. And you do a wonderful job. Jill and I try to interact as much as we can on some of these platforms. But folks, I felt we needed to give you a little bit of an inside story and also share some things that I think most users are not aware of when it comes to the addiction angle, the spying angle, the fact that some are having to go to rehab for social media, and then the child predator factor. Go ahead, Jill.
I'd just like to encourage people, there are ways to change settings on your social media. Sometimes they can be difficult to track down on the actual social media site itself. So you can go to YouTube or you can go to a search and put your question in, how do I change my privacy settings on Facebook? And then directions will pop up for that. So there are ways to make your social media safer.
You can communicate with Jill at waltermartin.com, or you can communicate with her and me on the various sites that we've talked about. When I get back, we'll talk about the end time lawlessness going on, all predicted in the Bible for a final generation. So don't go away. Coming right back.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. If you have followed Olive Tree Ministries for any length of time, you know we remind you that the hour is late, that the church is soon to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air in what is known as the rapture of the church. Many will leave loved ones behind. We have two excellent products that address that concern. One is the new video by Prophecy Update titled After the Rapture, Left Behind. It is a short video that describes life after the rapture, including what happened and what those left behind can do to still enter the kingdom of God. The other product is a rapture kit on a flash drive for computer use. It contains hours of videos, books, a Bible, and much more. This is a wonderful tool to tap into now, but to be effective in the post-rapture world. All content is on a small flash drive. Find these products in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. They are also featured in our print and e-newsletter. We don't want anyone to be left behind, but for those who are, these options are the very best. And we hope you'll consider them as the end time clock is now 1 minute to midnight.
These people are doing nothing less than pushing socialism / Marxism. That's their goal, is to overthrow and completely dismantle our form of government and turn it into a Marxist state where they control it.
We change topics in this segment and talk about end-time lawlessness with a security consultant. Ken Michael is a part of our ministry and is also a former law enforcement officer. He has some keen insight into the rebellion of our day, who is behind it, and how sophisticated their tactics are. If left unchecked, today's lawlessness will lead to the collapse of civilization and open the door for the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. Here is part two of today's programming.
Well, they can't seem to say the word riot. The major networks and some cable outlets being called out for refusing to use the term riots to describe the violence and looting that is rocking a Minneapolis suburb for nights now following the police shooting and death of a black man there. At best, using terms like violent protests or protests turned violent to describe the chaos. Republican Congressman Lance Gooden tweets, "Dear CNN, what happened last night in Minneapolis was not a protest, it was a riot. Get the story right or get out of the news business." Joe Concha, media and politics columnist for The Hill and Fox News contributor. Joe, why is this happening?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we have to come to some sort of compromise here, Harris. You know, maybe we could call them mostly peaceful riots. Would that work? Because I'm old enough to remember the summer of 2020 when there were mostly peaceful protests going on in places like Minneapolis or Portland or Atlanta or Seattle. And then literally behind a reporter, you would see a burning inferno of a building. Looked like the ending scene in Die Hard at the Nakatomi Plaza. And yet they're insisting these are mostly peaceful protests, even though there were billions of dollars in damage. So why is this happening? Well, obviously, it's the PC way to describe what is obviously a riot. When there are dozens of arrests made on a nightly basis, when dozens of businesses, these owners, no fault of their own, are looted, are damaged, when the National Guard is called in, I believe you could start to call that a riot, Harris.
Welcome back. If you heard last week's program with Curtis Bowers, you know that we are on the brink of complete tyranny in the land. And the Bible calls these times perilous times, 2 Timothy 3. In Matthew 24, we read about end-time lawlessness and how it will increase and abound, particularly during the tribulation, but we're in a run-up to that. And it flourished so badly in Noah's day that God wiped out humanity. And the Bible says that a man of lawlessness is coming. He's known as the Antichrist. Well, I promise you we're preparing the way for him. So I believe we're now in a Romans 1 society. Four of the most terrifying words in the Bible are, God gave them over. And God has given over to much of godless mankind, and certainly the godless left, a debased nature. Truth has been replaced for a lie. Evil is called good. And the biblical reference that everyone is doing right in their own eyes is happening now. What's behind today's lawlessness? Well, I'm in the epicenter of some of the tyranny as I headquarter out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And last week, more turmoil. This time hit our suburbs. So does God have anybody's attention yet? I hope so, but I don't know if I'm going to be optimistic about that. In studio with me for the balance of the program is Ken Michael. He's a part of our ministry. He's a retired law enforcement officer. a former investigator and a security consultant. He actually does seminars on behalf of the ministry calling Understanding Our Times. Call my office if your church or group is interested. Ken Michael, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Jan. Good to be with you.
We're seeing worldwide lawlessness, and some of this is based on a false narrative, and that is that society is systematically racist. We've fought a civil war to defeat racism. We made huge strides in the last 50, 60 years with racism. So why this agenda? Why the narrative?
The truth has been replaced with the lie. And not only are they saying that our society is systematically racist, what you're hearing now from our politicians, our media, is that police departments and police officers in general are racist. And what they're saying is they are purposely and intentionally targeting people of color, not just to stop them or harass them, but to actually kill them. And this is the biggest lie. My friends in law enforcement are really taking this hard. And I can tell you, as a former law enforcement officer, it is so hard to watch and listen to.
Again, who in their right mind would become a law enforcement officer? Who would go into this profession? We've just seen a law enforcement officer. Apparently, she thought she had a taser in her hand. It was a gun. Killed this biracial young man. What person in their right mind would go into this field?
Fortunately, in our country, we still have dedicated people that want to see law and order rule. They want to go out there and help the people in their community. As tragic as this incident was that we're talking about with the officer in Brooklyn Center, she was actually one of the lead people out there interacting with groups of people in their community of all races and all organizations.
What was she doing?
They have officers that go out into the community and do community relations, okay, community policing. My understanding is she was one of those lead officers doing that.
And she was trying to befriend some of the community members.
Of course she was.
Clearly it was an accident, not any kind of intended incident.
No, and unfortunately, the media is listening to politicians, right, that are telling us that this was intentional, and that was her goal, was to actually go out and kill a person of color.
Violence is escalating, obviously, in every major city, from murder to robberies. And at the same time, firearm sales are absolutely through the roof. 300 million firearms sold here recently. Let's just put it this way. You've got good patriotic Americans watching what's happening and getting very nervous. And the only thing they feel they can do to protect their loved ones and their property is arm themselves. Totally understandable. But where is this headed? Are we headed towards a civil war?
I believe we are. I agree with a lot of people in my profession that are saying the same thing. You mentioned the sale of firearms. Who do you think the largest purchaser of firearms was last year? That would be women. Women want to protect themselves. They want to protect their family, want to protect their children. And as we see these scales of justice, which are grossly being tilted to one side, we're seeing people that want to and understand that they have to protect themselves. I believe we're going to get to a point where people realize that law enforcement are no longer going to be able to protect them.
That's what I said earlier, and that's leading towards a whole lot of an increase in the lawlessness, because then you're going to have two sides firing at each other.
Right now, we're seeing that's basically from the left. But when good standing people like veterans who have fought for this country, who watched their brothers in arms die in front of them, retired police officers, business owners that have invested their life savings into their business and now have lost everything, when they realize that we're losing the republic and the police aren't going to be able to protect them, you're going to see people in mass numbers rise up, because they are going to protect themselves. They are going to protect their families and their property.
Then you have people like Ilhan Omar stirring everything up.
And I will never stop saying, not only do we need to disinvest for in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. The Minneapolis Police Department is rotten to the root. And so when we dismantle it, we get rid of that cancer and we allow for something beautiful to rise. And that reimagining allows us to figure out what public safety looks like for us.
Ken Michael, the other thing the Bible talks about in context of our discussion here is end time strong delusion. What we just heard is the voice of end time strong delusion, as though dismantling a police department is the answer to the problem. Can any of my listeners comprehend the severity of the problem without law enforcement officers? And yet this is what many on the left are suggesting.
Jan, whenever you hear the word reimagine or rediscover, you know those are code words for we're going to dismantle whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the World Economic Forum when they're telling us we need to reimagine the economy. These people are doing nothing less than pushing socialism / Marxism. That's their goal, is to overthrow and completely dismantle our form of government and turn it into a Marxist state where they control it.
We've talked a little bit earlier, and you told me about these anarchists playing out before our eyes. And I'm concerned we've got a summer ahead of us that's going to be images of all last summer and now starting here in spring of 2021. You called them paid professional anarchists. You told me that not only are these not peaceful protesters, they are very sophisticated in their operation, and I want you to talk about it. They come in fatigues. They have high-tech communication devices. Now and then we'll see a U-Haul drive up, and they'll empty the U-Haul with everything they need to carry out their destruction. Talk to my audience about these paid professional anarchists. These aren't just some kids in the neighborhood. This is a bunch of trained terrorists, and the goal ultimately is that we become a Marxist nation, and man, we are heading there so fast.
Exactly, Jan. What we are witnessing on the streets of America is nothing short of guerrilla warfare. When these people show up to these so-called peaceful protests, they have already planned this. They have already done extensive training. They have the funds to go anywhere in this country and cause chaos like we're seeing on the streets. And yes, they show up with helmets, gas masks, they show up with law enforcement or military tactical vests, they're wearing weapons, explosives, they have fireworks that shoot projectiles, they have knives, frozen bottles, rocks. Not only do they go out on bicycles and scout out where the police are located, but they also find out where their vehicles are located so they can damage and burn them. And then they ride around and find out where all the stores and shops are that they want to riot and loot, while their associates are back confronting and fighting with the police. Here's the scary part. As I told you, they're using military and law enforcement tactics. They send up aerial drones and map out where they're going to go in relationship to where the police are. They recruit medics and medical personnel to attend to their people when they get injured. They actually have resupply routes where they bring in truckloads of supplies. Say they run out of gas, food, weapons. They have routes already mapped out so that they can go back and get into the fight. So they're using military tactics.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio with me Ken Michael, who is a former law enforcement officer, investigator, security consultant. He does seminars in churches. You need to be in touch with us about that, called Understanding Our Times. Both of us operate out of the Minnesota area, so check with us as far as all the terms that Ken has to have met before he can actually travel. Ken, obviously, all of this takes money, and it takes a lot of money, and it takes coordination. Somebody is paying for all of this, providing for all of their needs, putting these people up in expensive hotels. I've seen them in my suburb, which will remain nameless. I've seen them in some of our hotels. They're obviously hired agitators that are flown in or have driven in. Amazon financing it, Apple, Microsoft, Walmart, Google, Twitter, Facebook. What am I missing? Obviously, the whole Soros empire is financing this. Who else?
There's wealthy millionaires and billionaires.
What's in it for them?
They want to overthrow our government. George Soros has been trying to overthrow our government now for decades. He believes right now he is on the precipice of doing that by funding all the attorney generals that he's getting into all of our cities across the nation. And now he funds these anti-government, anti-American groups.
But what's in it for a business of any kind, even Walmart, what's in it for them to finance destruction, arson, in some cases murder, and to finance complete chaos and anarchy?
Say, for example, Black Lives Matter. They actually extort these companies. They tell them if they don't donate to them, they will put their names out there as not supporting this movement. These companies and corporations do not want to be looped into that. Here's what's ironic, Jan. These looters and rioters are going out there and burning down and looting the very businesses that are supporting them. So the question is, who in their right mind would do this? And why would you do this? Well, the answer is because these CEOs of these corporations know what's coming, and they understand that the Great Reset is approaching, and they, as big businesses, are going to be running this country and make the rules for which you and I have to abide by.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I've covered the topic of the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, on this program 4 or 5 times now. Starting, I think, in January, Billy Crone, Brandon Holthouse, and others, we've discussed it in detail. One of those programs was taken down from the internet, not our website, thankfully. Folks, that's the best place. If you miss a radio program on air, best place to come and catch it is on our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio. There we have the program posted, both audio, and we have a video version. You can see portions of the programming in the video version. Going back to World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and their slogan is, you'll own nothing and be happy. Marxism, that's the goal, obviously. Not even socialism. Communism is the goal. Last week, Curtis Bowers talked about how most in the Democrat Party today, they're committed socialists. Many of them, up to 90 of them, are committed Marxists in the Democrat Party. So the World Economic Forum comes along and they are encouraging, probably even helping to finance, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Talk to me a little bit about the World Economic Forum and their plan to bring about utter chaos, because that will overthrow the system, Cloward and Piven, and allows for a new system.
The best way to skirt the Constitution is they're going to put these businesses in charge of the rules, and we're already seeing it being applied in big tech.
Okay.
They can take down any video they want.
That's right.
They can eliminate any person they want. If they can eliminate the President of the United States off social media, they can do it to anyone, mm-hmm. and they've done it to us, obviously. Their plan, long-term, is to overthrow the government and merge artificial intelligence and communism. Not only is this an economic takeover through climate change, education, healthcare, it is also implementing artificial intelligence. These companies know full well that artificial intelligence is going to run their businesses. 50% of the American population may be out of a job here within the next few years because of an artificial intelligence. And then they're using the pandemic to control us through the vaccines, microchip implants.
Yes.
We already have
yes.
that technology in place to do that.
What you're saying, and I think what I'm saying too, is the world must be in some free fall position for the Antichrist to move in. We see the spirit of Antichrist alive and well. Honestly, Ken, in your career as a police officer, investigator, security consultant, have you ever seen the spirit of Antichrist so alive and well?
I have never seen or witnessed anything like this. And if you want to verify that, all you have to do is look at 1 John 4:3, where he says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world.
I'm going to play a real short clip here. It happens to be Pastor J.D. Farag, and he's talking about this lawlessness that's hit the land, the rise of wickedness and lawlessness. And I think he makes a wonderful biblical point here. And folks, that's the point, frankly, of this radio outreach, is not just to sit here and talk about current events, but to tie it to the Bible.
So we have a question we need to answer. And the question is, why would God send them this powerful delusion so that they believe the lie and are condemned? Thankfully, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells us why. It's because they rejected the truth. That's why. Simply put, their hearts were already hardened, their mind already made up, and as such, their fate had already been sealed. They've already rejected God and the truth. And so God just says, okay, the Spirit of God is not going to strive with man forever. I mean, there just comes a point where the Lord just says, I'm not going to force myself on you. You've rejected me. I've given you so many opportunities, and you continue to reject me. Look, I can take a hint. You don't want me. You've rejected me. So fine. And he just gives them over to their mind already being made up. I think about Pharaoh, very interesting account when we were in Exodus. He continued to harden his heart. And we're told, I think it's something like 8 times. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then, it's not, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. It's, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What? That doesn't seem fair. I mean, it's like, kind of like Pharaoh didn't have a fighting chance. I mean, God hardened his heart? No, that's not what happened. It's God saying, you've already hardened your heart. Fine. You've already made your choice. You've already made your decision. You've already made up your mind. You've already rejected the truth. So I'm going to stop fighting you and give you what you want. Because you don't want me. And this is why God gives them over to their lawlessness and wickedness. And get this, wrap your mind around this. We're told that they actually take great delight in it. I tell you, this has helped me so much. Because like you, I'm sure, when you watch all of this, you're like, how is this even possible? I mean, you actually are falling for this? Yeah, right here. This explains it. This resolves the problem. Because for the life of me, I could never imagine why anybody would do anything like this. Well, this explains why. They've rejected the truth. So, of course, wickedness and lawlessness will ensue. I've heard it said like this. When you reject the truth, you open yourself up for the most bizarre of lies. You'll believe anything.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell. I have in studio Ken Michael. If you're interested in him giving a presentation at your church or group, give my office a call. Ken Michael, that little clip, that was Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. And you bring this out. The root problem is sin.
If you're not a Christian and you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, just like Pastor J.D. said, you open yourself up to every other kind of demonic spirit.
That's right. We see not only mayhem and chaos, but we see enormous destruction. There are some loss of life here going on in the last year with all of this disruption and chaos. Why are so few of these people arrested? Why aren't they arrested, put in jail for, who knows, a few years? They may be kept overnight and then they're let go again. Why?
I believe it's because of the stance that they're taking against the police in general. It is not PC to
right.
go out and arrest people from Black Lives Matter or Antifa. However, if you are on the other side of this, you can take one incident and the government, the left, will loop all of those people into the same category. We're seeing a complete tilt of the scales of justice.
Yes.
If you are on the left and you're in the woke crowd, they okay. know the police aren't going to come after them if they run. The criminals know that. They're realizing as we allow this to happen, they're gaining more power. It is going to spin completely out of control.
And you have told me your police colleagues still in uniform, they really can't do their job, can they?
I've got colleagues that are afraid now to go out and do their jobs. Not because they're afraid of what they might encounter, but they're afraid of the repercussions
right.
like we're seeing from the public and from their own police department not backing them up. Some of these administrations are telling them, don't go out there. Just go out and answer your routine calls, back up your partners. We're seeing some of these city council members here in Minnesota telling the public that police officers probably shouldn't be carrying firearms during traffic stops or routine encounters with the public. Well, there are no routine traffic stops. There are no routine encounters with the public because it can go from 0 to 100 in a second. And that's what people don't understand.
Some of my listeners right now are thinking, my goodness, you've just presented a sky is falling scenario. What can I possibly do? How can I even protect myself? What can my audience do? Obviously, it's a challenge to be born for such a time as this because we've entered this lawless era. Obviously, they could get a weapon to protect themselves, but really, how do they respond on a daily basis? Look, they're going to the grocery store to pick up some groceries. And along the way, I have a good friend whose car was carjacked. They never found it again. What do my listeners do?
Well, first of all, I think we need to take comfort in knowing that Christ told us this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. There always had to be that generation that was going to witness this. And we have to come to the realization of that. What I'm telling people right now is please do not rely on the government or your local police department for your personal protection. Because there's no guarantee they're going to be there. And I'm not saying that to slam the police. If you're in a big city and you're underfunded and you're short-manned on the street and you have an emergency, chances are they're not going to get there in time. So you have to take steps to protect yourself, your family, and your property. And as I said earlier, the 300 million guns that were sold last year, a lot of them were to women. So they're understanding that they have to protect themselves and their family. And that's what I would recommend. You take the steps necessary to protect yourself. And what are we seeing in the big cities now? They're all flocking out to other, not just suburbs, but way out in the country. I live in a suburb of Wisconsin that's rural, and people from the cities are flocking there by the dozens, literally every month. You're seeing this flight out of the big cities into areas that are safer. If you have the opportunity to do that, I would certainly encourage that.
Ken, thank you for stopping by studio. Ken's part of this ministry. Again, if you want to get a hold of him, best way to do that would be to call the office here. I'm just going out with a Bible verse because I don't know what else to say in this rather unnerving half hour we've just presented. Say with the psalmist, won't you, folks? I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
We welcome friendly feedback at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Bible believers know the future in advance, know that God has everything under control, and know that everything is falling into place.